Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Living with Dying. Today I'm joined by Jacqueline Gunn, who is the founder of Workplace Bereavement Advocacy. And Jacqueline, lovely to meet you. I'm afraid, like most people though, those of us who are working in this space, we all seem to come to it with some loss at the start of it, don't we? So is that what happened in your case?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. My father died in 2018 and I felt that I needed somewhere to go and speak with other people. So before Workplace Bereavement was founded, I started a charity 6 months after Dad died. Dad died in 2018 from heart attack, and I felt I needed to channel my energy and focus. I think when I look back, I was suppressing my grief. I was pushing it down. I was just like, right, okay, let's just keep busy. And a few people did say it will bite you on the bum, and it did. About 3 years later. But I also suffer with my mental health, and I felt I needed to do something positive. So that's where the charity came from, called Talking About Loss, groups around Yorkshire, and we did online as well over COVID. And when I started speaking to the beneficiaries of the charity, I realised that not everybody's experience of going back into work was as good as mine. And I felt, right, okay, so there's more work to be done here. And at the time, in the rawness of grief, I think I was just trying, I kind of felt like, where is there a book that I should be like ticking off things, you know? And I kind of felt there's so many people that die every single day, but I can't find these people. I want to talk to people who know and get what I am navigating. And I just couldn't find them. So that's why I created Talking About Loss, because I was like, well, I'll bring you all together. And then with Workplace, yeah, I just thought, right, there's more to be done. And the fact that I wanted to create something that wasn't just awareness, it was lasting cultural change within the workplace. We're not just going to do an hour awareness and in 48 hours you forgot what we've spoke about. So we created a CPD accredited course, and with that it comes a wraparound support for the bereaved and for the advocate as well, because most people who want to become a bereavement advocate within the workplace are bereaved and they want to make the difference. So they might be told something that actually might trigger them. So we hold that space for them so that they can speak to us and say, I've been told something. I'm not sure what to do with this information. I'm worried. This has triggered me. So maybe one of the other bereavement advocates can take over. We've got external bereavement advocates as well. So for some companies, they just haven't got the logistics to try and get people together to become a bereavement advocate within the workplace. So we've got an external bereavement advocate, so embedded within the company. So yeah, CPD accredited course, wraparound support, and access to a portal that has got so much information on. And we love signposting, because we're all in this space, usually because of our lived experience as well. And I just feel together we are so much stronger. I'm such a massive advocate for collaboration and signposting, because what one workplace might want from us, another workplace like, that's not really for us, we don't want to do that. Okay, well, we know quite a lot of other people who, if that's awareness that you want, you know, yeah, we can signpost you to somebody within your area who can do that for you. So yeah, massive advocate for collaboration and signposting. We wanted to get it right with having that support, because I think a lot of people do courses, it's a tick, and they don't know what to actually do with the information that they've been given. and a certificate. Yeah, you've got a certificate, but actually in 8 months' time, can I remember what I'm supposed to be, how I'm welcoming somebody back into the workplace, you know, having that conversation. We like to work with HR as well. You know, what do you want your return to work to look like? How can we as a company support you coming back into work? And a lot of people, they don't always take workplaces up on things, but the fact that they've got it there is massive to people. It's huge. People just say, yeah, I might not need it today, but I might need it in 6 months' time. I might really be struggling in 6 months' time. And to know that I can go to a bereavement advocate and say, I'm really struggling with my workload. You know, I've got things happening at home that I can't keep on top of everything, you know, and working together, because there's so many workplaces that lose really, really good people because they haven't supported them navigating bereavement. And bereavement, there's no time limit. There's no like, oh, well, in 3 months' time, Jenny's going to be fine, you know. And I think also you walk into work, you know, ladies have maybe got a bit of makeup on that, and you look fine. So people avoid asking you. They're just like, oh, well, she looks okay. So we won't say anything. But it's just, it's nice. It's nice if someone just says, do you know what? How are you today? Do you fancy a coffee? Do you want to go for a walk at lunchtime? Just that nice human connection. We all want a bit of human connection.
That reminded me when you said that about the people, the proverbial people who crossed to the other side of the road so as not to talk to you when you've been bereaved. And I've heard so many people say that. You think it's apocryphal, but it's not.
No. And you remember those people. And also, I think I did have a colleague, and she said to me, oh, how are you? And I burst into tears. And she was like, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have asked. And I was like, no, I'm really glad that you asked. I'm crying because I miss my dad, not because you've asked me. I'm crying because I miss him. And actually, you letting me speak about him, that's massive for me. So, you know, thank you. And, you know, the tears then turn to laughter because you've been given this space. And I also find, well, I found it, I used to say to people would say, I'm really sorry to hear about your dad. And then I would say, oh, it's fine. And then I'm like, it's not fine. Why am I saying it's fine? Because I'm trying to protect them because they're uncomfortable and I'm trying to protect them. And what people say it to me as well, and they go, oh, it's fine. And I'm like, no, it's not fine. No, you know, if you're happy, tell me about your loved one. Have you got a picture? I'd love to, you know, and just, we do quite a lot of shows, and we find that when we're at shows and people have that space to be open and speak about their loved one, they leave the stand with a smile on their face and just saying, it's so lovely that you gave me this chance to speak about my loved one.
That's why I found it so easy to get guests to come on this podcast, because everybody who's lost someone just wants to talk about them, and they don't get enough chance in everyday life.
No, they don't. No, definitely not.
But so that I understand a bit more about workplace advocacy, you have an individual in your aim anyway is to have an individual in most companies who is there kind of just in case they're needed. Is that right? Or do you encourage them to be proactive and seek out the people who've been bereaved? How does it work?
Well, so we do like them to be proactive, because, and we also, depending on the size of the company, it depends how many bereavement advocates you would have in there as well. And also we like bereavement advocates embedded within the company, because they see the people every day. And they can pick up on, you know, Susan's not, you know, she's a bit quiet today. I'm just going to check in. And it's just having those regular check-ins, and because when you work with people, you get to know them, and you can see if someone's walking through the door that day and they're just not themselves. So we do encourage them to be, you know, proactive, having those check-ins. You know, you're not going to bombard them every day, but it's just nice. You know, we on the portal, we have also when the bereaved person's person died, so that we've got an anniversary as well. And also we've got to remember that every death is very different. There may be an inquest, so you're coming back into work and actually, you know, body maybe hasn't been released and is not going to be released for, I don't know, 6 weeks, 3 months, whatever. And then you've got a trial, which could take up to 2 years. So you're trying to work and you're trying to function and keeping it all together, but you've got all that going on. And I also think bereavement leave is sometimes a lottery, depending on your company, depending on your relationship with you know, management. You know, we plan for weddings, don't we, years in advance, and we're supposed to. I got a phone call at work, and I organised everybody at work. Everyone was saying, "You got to go, you got to go," and I knew I had to go. But also the reality was, once I got home, there was no going back. It was just like, right, I know that I'll have to do this. And you've got 2 to 5 days, and then you go back into work and the funeral hasn't happened. So then you've got to take another day off for the funeral. And I also find that policies that were written years and years and years ago are not fit for purpose, not with how modern life is and blended families. You know, your cousin might be closer to you than your mum, but you might not. Your workplace might say, well, actually, it's not immediate, so actually you're going to have to take a day's holiday for that, which I find extraordinary.
The whole thing is a minefield, isn't it? Because as you're emphasising, every single loss is different. Every person's grief is unique. Every person's return to the workplace is unique.
Definitely.
And what you described earlier on about how people approach you or didn't approach you was good for you at that moment.
Yes.
But it might not have been right for the other person, might it? So
no.
I think it's quite hard for both sides to navigate all
definitely.
This.
Definitely, definitely. But I think also as well, we also encourage, you know, What do you want your colleagues to know? You know, I felt I needed some kind of control because everything else was out of my control. I couldn't control anything. So I needed a little bit of control. And giving me that option, what do you need? What do you need when you come back into work? How can we support you? And I just think, you know, what do you want your colleagues to know? Are you happy for an email to go around? Do you want to write the email? Do you want them not to say anything? Because some people don't want to talk about it. Some people want to go back to work, which I did. I was pretty quick back to work, 48 hours. I was like, no, I'm back. I have no idea what I did at all. I don't even think I can remember. I kind of arrived to work thinking, I can't remember the drive that I've just done. You're probably working at, you know, 20%. You're just not working to full capacity. And how can you? You know, you might have the coroner ringing you saying, yeah, actually, dad's body's ready to be released. The funeral director's, right, what do I need to do now? Right, I need to go and register dad's death. I need to go to the doctors. You've got a house to empty. You know, you've got people coming from abroad, maybe. It's just massive. And again, you've got different cultures as well, who bereavement is very different in different cultures. You know, So there's that. And I also think pet loss is a massive thing as well. That's huge. To some people, it's like, oh my God, you know, why is she so upset? It's a dog. But that dog is part of your family. And so we incorporate that into the training as well. And I just find it all quite extraordinary how workplaces just think, right, okay, well, she's had 5 days off, you know, why isn't she working to full capacity? Why is she, you know, and you do sometimes miss things because you are not working to full capacity. How could you? But if you work with HR and your bereavement advocate and find out what does that person, how does she want that or he want that return to work to look like? Do they want to tell anybody? Do they want to be spoken to and asked about? Or do they just not want anything at all? Let's find out what the bereaved person wants, because then that gives the bereaved person some control, tiny bit of control in the rawness of losing somebody.
What you say reminds me of an episode I did with Child Bereavement UK about a girl returning to school who'd lost a mother or father, I forget which now. And what you've described was put in place for her so that she was able to say whether she wanted her classmates to know, whether she wanted them to approach her. And I remember thinking, gosh, that's so powerful for that girl, isn't it? And if only everybody had that.
Yeah. We then have gone on to do Young Hearts. So Young Hearts, we have a bereavement course, all CPD accredited, Ascend course, and Attachment and Trauma. And again, with the wraparound support for the teachers as well, because teachers are so, you know, when we speak to teachers, they're so worried about getting it wrong and the impact and the consequences. So when they've taken on our training, they're just like, oh, it just feels so nice that actually we've got the training, we've got the resources, and we can call you and say, this is what's happening, unsure. Can you guide us a little bit on this? Which is perfect. So yeah, we've got the Young Hearts as well. And so important to support children.
They're going through so much at that point, aren't they? Much more than they should ever have to cope with. And to then try and go back to school without people understanding. And they can't fully understand, but they can try, can't they?
Yeah.
Another story springs to mind. John Adams, who's a well-known funeral director, managed to
know him.
He said his dad wrote, when his mother died and he was 12, his father wrote a letter to the school. The letter was obviously put in some drawer. Because about 6 months later, the school called him in to say, this, you know, John's work isn't very good. It's not up to scratch. Is anything going on at home? Could have been avoided.
Absolutely. And that's the thing with workplaces, school. It goes on performance, doesn't it? Well, why are they, you know, they used to be really great at things like this. Why is that slipped? And it's just like, come on, light bulb moment, come on. You know,
I think we need a campaign to explain that when you're bereaved, you lose a certain amount of your brain capacity, don't you?
Yes.
You have brain fog. You can't concentrate. No. You can't remember things. I did an awful lot of double booking of appointments because I just wasn't compos mentis. And we need more people to recognise that, I think.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And just having that support network as well. And I think a lot of people are worried. If they do stand up and go, do you know what, I'm struggling a bit at work, they're worried that they're going to lose their job. They're worried to actually say it out loud or you know, go to HR and say, I'm really struggling. Is there anything, how can the working environment be a little bit better? I'm struggling with this. And it's very, very difficult because we've worked with some workplaces who other employees start to get a little bit annoyed because they feel that they're taking on a little bit more work because they're helping the bereaved out, which is fine to start with, but then they start getting a little bit like, well, how, you know, I'm doing my work and now I'm doing a little bit extra to support Philip. You know, when's it going to end? But I think everything like that, when we work with HR, it's, you know, keep checking in. Right, where do you feel that you're at now? Do you still need that extra support? You know, we can still keep it shared out. Do you want 10% back? See how that goes. It's just talking. It's just, you know, human connection, and for people to feel that they can say what they want to say. We take our whole selves to work, and our whole selves is bereavement as well.
And I can see that if somebody's working in a company where you've already been in and there is a workplace advocate, then they're not going to feel so uncomfortable about owning up to working at half.
Exactly. I mean, the data that we get back and the, you know, the conversations that we have, I mean, it just, my heart's full, but there's so much more to do. And from joining workplace, as in joining and working with the corporate side, I have seen a difference in the 3 years that we have been running. You can imagine that there's nothing else out there, as in workplace bereavement advocacy. There's courses, but nobody actually embedded within the course. So when I started speaking to people and saying, would this be something that you would be interested in training your people to become bereavement advocates? And they were like, well, what is that? And I said, I'll liken it to a mental health first aider, but purely bereavement. And a lot of companies still do it. We've got a mental health first aider. We don't need a bereavement advocate. And I will come back and say, mental health first aiders are not trained at all in bereavement. And isn't that such a cop out from workplaces, I think, just to say, go and see your mental health first aider? I mean, what pressure that is on that mental health first aider to start with. So yeah, it's taken a while because people just didn't understand what we were trying to do, because there's never been bereavement advocates within the workplace. What is this? And then you get some companies which they do have our bereavement advocates in, but when I did speak to them, they said, the managing director said, oh, we don't need it. And I was like, oh, could I have some feedback? Like, why? We've got a young workforce. So I said, oh, okay. So they're all orphans then. And he was just like, and then a bit of a light bulb moment. I was just like, so they don't have grandparents, parents, partners, animals. And I said, we're not born and then given a date where we check out. You know, we don't live to 80 some or 90 some and then we depart. It doesn't work like that. And he was just like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I never even thought about things like that. So yeah, they are with us now, and we do have a little giggle about that.
That's a wonderful story, but it so typifies the world around us, doesn't it? Because people don't want to talk about death, don't want to acknowledge death, don't want to think about our own, and don't want to think about other people's. And yet in every workplace, there must be lots of people's relations dying at one time or another. In every school, there must be.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, every single day there's, you know, I think it's something like 1,600 and some people in the UK daily. That's every single day. And you just, I mean, I could have got that number wrong, but I think it is around that number. And the ripple effect that has is massive. It's huge.
Now, you've given me a very good idea of this workplace advocacy work. But you rather glossed over your charity at the beginning, and that's still ongoing, is it? You're still getting together with groups who want to talk about their loved ones, are you?
Yeah. So the charity has been going for 7 years, and it's I set it up obviously for Dad, but the first I did a pop-up event, but actually 100 people turned up to that event and said, we have been waiting for something like this. Where have you been? And I was like, well, my dad only died 6 months ago. So sadly, that's where I've been. And so I just thought, right. So I started it with pop-ups every month in different areas. And then it just got bigger and bigger and people wanted more and more. So we've got a massive team of leaders and volunteers who run the groups. We've got some groups that run weekly. We've got some groups that run monthly. And we do walk and talk. We've got a young heart, so we do for the children. So we've got family events as well that we do. And we work closely with other charities as well. And, you know, it's just wonderful to see all these people coming together. We've got people who started 7 years ago. They're still coming. It's just part of their weekly routine that they meet up. Friendships have been formed. They go on holiday. I mean, I'm waiting for somebody to get married and buy a hat. And I just, it's wonderful. We do wellness, well-being days as well. We've got lots of different activities going on. We're due to be having another one soon as well. And I always have to take myself off into the corner of a field and have a little cry and say, you'd love it, Dad. You'd love it. And it's all because of him. And he was so kind and so loving that he's still continuing that.
That's a wonderful legacy through his daughter.
Definitely, definitely.
I'm presuming it's all around Yorkshire, is it? You haven't spread across the country yet.
So talking about loss is Yorkshire, but workplace bereavement is actually international.
Oh, is it?
So we're CPD accredited and that covers, we're covering the world.
Jacqueline, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you so much. And I'd like you to spell out the details of your website, please.
Yes. So you can go to www.workplacebereavement.co.uk and we're on LinkedIn, Instagram. We're all over the place. But yeah.
And the charity, have you got a website?
And the charity is www.talkingaboutloss.co.uk.
Lovely. And that's what we're doing, isn't it, right now? And we have been doing for the last half an hour. Thank you very much for sharing all that with me. Lovely to meet you, Jacqueline.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Death is never easy, but there are ways we can help each other through it. And if you've found any of these episodes helpful, please think about liking and sharing. And if you can help spread the word by telling just one other person, thank you. And a huge thanks to Joe Barrett, without whom these podcasts would simply not be possible. You can contact us on hello@livingwithdying.co.uk.